Thank you, Don. Thank you, Everett. Thank you, Jack. And thank you, Shelley. Folks, it's a real joy for Donna and I to be back here with our dear friends here at Edmiston Heights. We are thankful for the 18 years that we were here, and it seems to have gone by just like that. And we've been away for 5 years now since we were here last, and we just thank God for the way He is still blessing this assembly. And it's good to see new folks here, new faces, and to God be the glory. This morning, I would like to speak to you on the subject of justice and mercy. Justice and mercy. What would you prefer? Let's pray before we begin. Father, this morning we come into your holy presence and we thank you that we can come before you, a holy, almighty, sovereign Lord God of the universe. We thank you for your glorious Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, who came into this world to save sinners. And we praise you that He has brought life and light and immortality to all those who put their faith and trust in Him. So, Father, we commit ourselves to you now and ask your blessing. Speak to each of our hearts by your Holy Spirit. And we give thanks in Jesus' worthy and precious name. Amen. In the country and province that we live in this day and age, we would like to see justice carried out for all those who kill, injure, and assault others. We'd like to see justice administered in the leadership of our country. Those that have positions of leadership in government who are corrupt and recklessly spend taxpayers' money. Wouldn't you like to see justice carried out? But we rarely see justice administered. From my own personal experience, I have seen guilty people who had influence get off and walk out of court scot-free, and others with little influence or on society punished more severely than they deserved. We even see vicious criminals like Paul Bernardo being released. He's out on day parole now, and he's applying for full parole. This young man who committed such heinous crimes being let go out on the streets again. But we have lots of those kind of people being paroled. We want to see justice administered to the man who caused this horrible tragedy in Toronto this past week, renting a van and driving it down the sidewalk and killing as many people as possible. What kind of thoughts go through a mind of a person like that? We want to see justice carried out correctly. The reason we don't see that is because in Canada and in Ontario, we have a legal system. We don't have a justice system anymore. There just isn't a true justice system anywhere in our world today. Think of the atrocities caused by terrorists that go unpunished. As we think about justice for a few moments, what is justice? What is justice? Justice is getting what we deserve. Justice is getting what we deserve. In the book of Isaiah, chapter 30, verse 18, it says that the Lord is a God of justice. The Lord is a God of justice. He is omniscient. He knows everything. He knows all the details, and He administers justice in a perfect way. He can judge wisely and justly. Isaiah 61 and 8 says, "The Lord loves justice." The Lord loves justice. He always does those things that are right. He is the sovereign, holy, almighty God of this universe. And, you know, he could have, just with a word, wiped out all those who crucified his son. But God is a God of justice, and he loves justice. He always does those things that are right. In Zechariah 7 and 9, it says, "The Lord executes true justice. He determines what the judgment will be based on that which is perfectly righteous and holy. His justice is true and right in every detail, every time." Wouldn't we like to have that kind of justice here on earth, administered by those who are in charge and those who have that right given to them? 2 Timothy 4 and 1 says, "The Lord Jesus Christ will judge the living and the dead." He will judge the living and the dead. Everyone must give an account to God at some time. All believers will stand before the Lord at the Bema, the judgment seat of Christ, to receive rewards from our Lord for what we have done in service for him. Not for our sin, because our sin has been forgiven in the sacrifice that Christ Jesus accomplished for us at Calvary. But we will be judged for the things done on earth in obedience to God's request. What a wonderful kind of judgment seat that will be when our Lord says to us, "Well done, good and faithful servant." Turn with me in your Bibles, please, to 2 Thessalonians. 2 Thessalonians chapter 1. Second Thessalonians chapter 1, beginning at verse 7. "And to give you who are troubled rest with us when the Lord Jesus is revealed from heaven with his mighty angels in flaming fire, taking vengeance on those who do not know God and on those who do not obey the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. These shall be punished with everlasting destruction from the presence of the Lord and from the glory of his power, when he comes in that day to be glorified in his saints and to be admired among all those who believe, because our testimony among you was believed." The Lord Jesus Christ is coming to earth again. The first time he comes to the air, and that could happen at any moment, when he comes to receive all the redeemed out of this age, all who he has purchased by the shedding of his precious blood, who have put their faith and trust in him. The second phase of his coming is when he will return to earth with all his saints and with his holy angels to judge the world and all those who have not received him as their Lord and Savior. He is going to judge those unbelievers who have rejected God's offer of mercy and grace, and they will receive the justice they deserve, which is, as we read, "They shall be punished with everlasting destruction from the presence of our Lord and the glory of his power." When we understand what it cost God the Father and what it cost the Lord Jesus to provide a way of salvation that we could be forgiven of all our sins and guilt by the sacrifice that Christ accomplished for us on the cross of Calvary, and if we refuse to accept God's offer of mercy, then we deserve the judgment that we receive. Justice will be carried out for all those who reject Christ as their Savior. Why in the world would anyone not want mercy instead of forgiveness? Why would you want to face justice, the justice of a holy God against those who do not believe in him and not want to receive his mercy and forgiveness? 2 Timothy 4:8 says, "The Lord is a righteous judge. He always does that which is right and just. And there's no changing with our God. He is always right. He does those things that are right, and he will judge rightly. No one is ever judged incorrectly by our omnipotent, omniscient God. For those who have accepted God's offer of mercy, we have peace with God here and now, and we have peace with God and the peace of God, knowing that we are not going to face the justice that we once deserved because we were sinners. And he has gone to prepare a place for those who love him, and what a day that will be when we join with the redeemed of all ages and meet our Lord in the air and go to a place that he has gone to prepare for us. We have a neighbor, and he was saying he didn't think that heaven could be any better than what he has right here, right now. He says, "I was sitting out on my deck and enjoying the birds that were singing and the flowers that were coming up, and he said it was beautiful and warm and sunny. And he didn't think that heaven could be any better than that." Well, I said, "I don't know what you think about heaven, but the Bible tells me that eye has not seen, nor ear heard, neither has it entered into the heart of man, the things that God has prepared for those who love him." Folks, heaven is just out of this world. It is glorious beyond compare with anything that we could imagine. Justice is getting what we deserve. Then there's the subject of mercy. What is mercy? Mercy is not getting the justice and the punishment we deserve. If a person is found guilty in a court of law, he may plead for mercy, and it's up to the judge to decide whether mercy is warranted or not. In many of our courts in this land today, many guilty persons are granted more mercy than they deserve and get off with leniency, or what we would call a slap on the wrist and say, "Now you were a bad boy, don't do that again. That's not justice. That's mercy more than deserved in many cases. God's mercy to us is described in Scripture in Numbers chapter 14, verse 18. It tells us God is abundant, has abundant mercy. God never runs short on the mercy that he is able to provide for guilty sinners who will come to him and say, "God, be merciful to me, a sinner." He is willing to pardon and forgive and grant us mercy. 1 Chronicles 16 and 34 tells us that God's mercy endures forever. There's no time limit on the mercy that we receive from God. On earth, you purchase an item, you take it home, and it has a guarantee that comes with it. Maybe for 30 days, maybe for 6 months, maybe for a year, maybe for 5 years. But however they have it figured out, that the day that the warranty runs out, so does the product. If you buy a battery for your car and it has a 48-month guarantee, in month 49 it quits working. And I don't know how they build those things into the products that they build these days, but that's the way it is. But our God, his mercy endures forever. Psalm 100, verse 4 tells us God's mercy is great. God's mercy is great. It covers all our shortcomings, our faults, our failures, and all our sin. The very next verse tells us in Psalm 100, verse 5, it reassures us that God's mercy is everlasting. It's everlasting. How wonderful is that? And how long is that? Everlasting. In the Gospel of John, chapter 3, verse 16, likely the most well-known verse in all the Bible, it says, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him shall not perish, but have everlasting life." How long is that? I know some Christians who do not believe in eternal security. They think that once you're saved, that you can lose your salvation again if you commit sin. How precarious a life is that to live? If you could think that, I sinned, and now I'm lost again. And if the Lord was to come when I was lost, too bad. But that's nonsense. Scripture tells us over and over and over again that God provides everlasting life. What is everlasting? Well, it's forever. When we are born again and saved, we have everlasting life. If we sin, God has provided a way for us to be restored to fellowship with him, not to have our salvation restored, but we are told that if anyone sins, he has an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. And it tells us that if we confess our sin, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sin and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And our fellowship with our Lord is restored again. We can lose our joy if our fellowship is broken with the Lord, but not our salvation. Salvation is everlasting. His mercy is everlasting. Lamentations 3, 22 and 23 tells us, "Through the Lord's mercies we are not consumed, because his compassions fail not. They are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness." Aren't you thankful that his mercy is new and fresh every day? When we wake up, we awaken to a new, fresh supply of God's mercy every day, because it is abundant, it's great, it's forever, and it's everlasting. Do I hear an amen to that? Amen. Turn with me now, please, to the book of Ephesians. Ephesians chapter 2. Ephesians chapter 2, beginning at verse 4. "But God, who is rich in mercy, because of his great love with which he loved us, even when we were dead in trespasses and sins, made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved, and raised us up together and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus, that in the ages to come he might show the exceeding riches of his grace in his kindness towards us in Christ Jesus. For by grace you have been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest anyone should boast." How wonderful is that? God, who is rich in mercy, because of his great love with which he loved us. Can you imagine us as guilty, hell-deserving sinners? And because of God's great love to us, he gave his only Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, who came into this world, suffered such torture committed by mankind. He suffered the wrath of God. He shed his precious blood and died. What mercy, what grace, what love, so that we could be forgiven and brought into the family of God. And as verse 7 says, that in the ages to come he might show the exceeding riches of his grace in his kindness toward us in Christ Jesus. What a future we have as believers in Christ. What mercy he has shown to us. We don't deserve God's mercy, but he has shown us his mercy. The repentant sinner pleads to God, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. And he responds immediately and forgives us of our sin and cleanses us from all unrighteousness, so that we are able to know with positive assurance that we are a child of God. In Romans 8 and 32 it says, he who did not spare his own son, but freely gave him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things? When we think that God the Father gave that which was most precious to him, his only begotten son, to the cross of Calvary, where he took upon himself our sin, our guilt, and suffered such excruciating agony, shed his precious blood and died to pay the price of our forgiveness, and the mercy we receive by grace through faith in his finished work. Therefore, God is rich in mercy, and his mercy towards us. Hallelujah, what a Savior. God offers total forgiveness to guilty sinners because his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, paid our sin debt in full, so that all we have to do is to accept his mercy and his forgiveness that he offers. And by faith, we receive Christ as our Savior and thank him for his great mercy to us. Do you need mercy today? God's mercy? Do you want God's mercy? How can we find mercy? Turn over, please, to the book of Hebrews. Hebrews chapter 4, verse 16. Let us therefore come boldly to the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. Let us therefore come boldly to the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. What does that mean? Well, for the believer in Christ Jesus, the child of God, we are encouraged to come to the very throne of grace, into God's holy presence, and make our requests for mercy and grace to help us in every and any situation that we face. And God, our Heavenly Father, has mercy and grace to help meet our every need. I was just talking with Jordan before we came into the service here, and we've been praying for Jordan as he's been going through this difficult issue with brain tumors. And God has answered prayer and stepped in, and here's this young man here today in reasonably good health. And many of us here in this room today are answers to God's prayers that we have committed to our God, and he is faithful, and he cares for us, he loves us, he hears and answers our prayer. And all we can do is praise him and thank him for his wonderful love that we don't deserve, for his mercy and grace. And personally, I know that I have prayed a number of times for others and for myself. And God is merciful. He hears, he answers. And he says to us, if you have a problem too difficult for you to handle, come to me. Come to me. I have mercy and grace to help in every situation and every trial that you face in life. We are truly blessed, and we praise God. What a merciful God that we have. What about for the unbeliever, those who have not trusted in Jesus' finished work of salvation and forgiveness that he offers us? The verse applies to them as well. He says, come. You too can find mercy and grace. You can be forgiven of all your sin, your guilt removed, and you can be saved from the penalty of your sins so that you will not face the justice of God and his judgment against you for your sin. And my prayer for you is that you would do so. Don't put it off. We don't know what tomorrow will bring. We don't even know about the rest of today. Christ could come at any time. I don't know of anything that there is recorded in God's word that needs to be fulfilled before Christ returns again. And after he comes again, it will be too late. Those left behind will face the judgment of God. And that's not a pretty picture. Nobody wants to be there. Nobody wants to face the judgment of God. Why not accept his mercy and his grace today and receive him as your personal Lord and Savior? Just tell him, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. I have seen people on their deathbeds in hospital, and all their life they put off knowing God, but at the last moment they realize that there is not much time left and they need to get right with God. How wonderful it is to be able to lead a soul to Christ at that time. But folks, none of us know from day to day whether we have tomorrow or not. Recently, I've had heart issues. 5 years ago, I had heart bypass surgery. And the end of March and into the first part of April, I was having angina attacks. And even in the middle of the night, I had to get up and take a shot of nitro to get the pain to subside. And one never knows whether a heart attack is going to take you like that or not. I was playing hockey with a young man that I had grown up with and went through school with, and we were both in the OPP. He was at the Whitby Detachment, and I was at Brecon Detachment over on Highway 12 just south of Orillia. And we were playing a benefit hockey game in Oshawa, the OPP against the Bell Telephone. And after the first period, we went into the dressing room and sat down. He sat down beside me and had a wooden floor in there. And he stuck both the heels of his skates into the floor, leaned back against the wall, and was gone. Just like that. Died instantly. 26-year-old man in robust health, but he was gone. And no one knows when their day will come. There's two problems in life: living too long or dying too soon. And we need to be prepared for either. So folks, if you do not know Christ as your Savior, I would implore you to trust in Christ and know him and the joy that he will give you, the forgiveness, the peace that comes in knowing Christ as your Savior. And our Lord says to you, come, and I will give you rest. Justice. Justice is getting what we deserve. Mercy is not getting what we deserve. But we've been talking about grace as well. Grace is getting what we do not deserve. What would you prefer? Justice? We would like to see justice carried out on this earth for those who deserve it and have caused great harm to others. Mercy? Yes, we need mercy. Each one of us needs God's mercy. Grace? We enjoy God's grace. He pours out his love, his mercy, his grace on us every day. Aren't you thankful for the wonderful love that he has for us? Every day when I'm going to bed, I thank God for his mercy, his love, his grace, and the way that he abundantly blesses us. Aren't you thankful that we live in a country and a land where we have peace and freedom and plenty and all that God provides for us? The sunshine, the fresh air, good clean water coming out of the tap. So many places in this world where they don't have any of those blessings that we enjoy here. God has blessed each one of us so much, whether we know it and realize it and appreciate it or not. We need to be thankful to him that he gave his son his very best, that we might not have to face the justice we deserve. He offers us mercy, full and free, plenteous and without end. It's everlasting. And he offers us his grace. By grace we are saved through faith, that not of ourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works. We can't work to obtain our salvation. He gives it to us freely if we will just accept it. Let's pray. Our Father and our God in heaven, we come to you now in the precious and worthy name of our glorious Lord and Savior, and we give thanks for your great love to us. Thank you for your mercy, your grace, and Lord, we praise you for your Son, the Lord Jesus, and for what he had to endure that he might provide salvation for each one of us. And those of us who know you as Lord and Savior, we offer you our praise and worship and thanksgiving. And for those who do not know you, Lord, we pray that you would speak to their hearts and encourage them to come and to find mercy and grace to help in their time of need. So we commit ourselves to you now. Go with us throughout this day, and we ask your blessing, giving thanks in the precious and worthy name of the Lord Jesus. Amen. Now, I'm not sure whether you have a hymn that you can pull up there. It's number 330 in the hymnal. Come every soul, by sin oppressed, there's mercy with the Lord.